So we're going to pass over to Sarah Ireland, who works for Croydon. She's the Director for Strategy, and she oversees commissioning, procurement and performance, and has been very active in looking at the broad issues in the social care sector, and within that, looking at the implementation of the London Living Wage.
Hi, thank you very much for inviting me today. Obviously, as you've already known from Jonathan, we're not accredited yet, so we're quite a newbie to this, and mainly because of the change in administration in May. But also what I wanted to share with you is some other work that we've been doing for a longer while around social value and how they've come together. So the first thing I'd like to do, I think, is a little bit set the context of Croydon. For those of you who don't know Croydon, Croydon is the largest London borough by population, and it's an incredibly diverse borough. It's diversity not only in age, where we have the biggest younger population in London, but also we have a very much growing ageing population. We've also got a very diverse borough, and we also have got worsening deprivation. And some of you have maybe seen the studies that, like many outer London boroughs, the poverty is moving out. So lots of inner London boroughs, and some of you may be from there, actually are getting a lot richer, and people who can't afford to live in those areas, who fall into low wage or poverty, are moving out. And therefore, that creates this issue for us, is that we have incredibly increasing demand, not just in terms of volume, but in complexity for our services as we deal with all that. So it's really important to us that as a council, how we spend our money is going to help people who live locally in terms of helping them in economic prosperity, but also helping them so they are not demanding very expensive services for us, that they're more self-reliant and resilient. So why does low pay matter to Croydon? Well, this is just a few statistics, and as you can see, that income support claim rate for Croydon is actually now starting to be, it's overtaking the London average, so we have a growing low pay issue. And also, we have a lot of issues around income inequality. And as you can see there, the inequality within the borough kind of represents that diversity, because the average household, some of the most deprived wards are around a third of that average household. So you can see they're kind of the stats that are looking at about why this matters to Croydon. And why does it matter about what we spend? How is that important? Well, Croydon is very much big business. We deliver over 500 services. We employ 3,000 staff, and 70% of those staff live in the London Borough of Croydon. Our contract portfolio is 1.2 billion, and we spend 400 million a year in third-party spend. So how we spend our money, and how much we keep in Croydon, and how much we help our local residents, customers and users are really important to us. That's important because the backdrop to this is over the last 4 years, Croydon has taken 100 million out of its budget to meet budget reductions and to meet growing demand. And over the next 3 years, unfortunately, we have to take another 100 million out. So this is against a backdrop of significant financial challenge. Therefore, social value, making sure we get the biggest bang for our buck in the widest sense, is very important to us. In May this year, we had a big election. Croydon went Labour. This is after being Conservative for 8 years. Before that was Labour for 8 years, and before that for 100-odd years it was Conservative. So that's kind of the way it's gone. And the commitment and the central commitment of the new administration is around the London Living Wage and that accreditation and how we get there. And they made that commitment early. Before, they have set up, like many new Labour boroughs as they move through, they have set up a fairness commission, which we'll be looking at that. But they wanted to make this commitment early. And indeed, the other commitment, which is interesting, I suppose, shows the value of social value and its changes, is they've made a very broad manifesto commitment to maximising social value in everything they do, particularly in their procurement processes. So it's really, really important to them. So what they did straight away, and this wasn't really difficult because in reality there weren't very many people. We actually didn't think there was anybody, but we did find about 5 people in the council in some way were not on the London Living Wage. So they took that decision and made sure that was embedded. Like I said to you, that wasn't the hardest thing in the world to do. The other thing they did was I run the commensurate contract, and we went through every one of our agency rates to ensure there was nobody who was being paid the London Living Wage. So that's been put into place. And we've also formally asked all the governing bodies of community and voluntary controlled schools to consider the same, so to use our influence to push them to make the same decision. But the tougher thing is Croydon is very much an outsourced borough, or has many of its services provided by third parties. So the greatest challenge is going to be about that contractual obligation. We now have a policy statement that all new contracts will, where appropriate, include a London Living Wage. And to date, since May, that has been the case, and I'll talk to you about some of those examples. But also, what is even more important is that how we have focused the social value on dealing and tackling income inequality and low pay and issues around employment. So before the new administration, but even with greater focus, we have been building in our contracts opportunities to create skills and training, opportunities around long-term unemployed or young people to get work experience or opportunities to apprenticeships. We've offered work placements to school children and young adults. We've provided career advice and information from children from our providers in schools. We created great opportunities for individuals who may, due to access, face issues around social and economic barriers to work. We obviously created supply chain opportunities for SMEs and social enterprise to be part of our providers' supply chains. We've also encouraged communities to do things for themselves, provide them with support, and we've also encouraged ethical and fair trading and environmental sustainability. And this has been through a number of contracts, so I've put some life into that. When we let our housing repairs contract, big contract, and it was won by a big provider, we did all that, but we also went to tenants and said, what would you want to get from a relationship with the provider? And one of the things that came out of it, which is quite interesting, I've got to admit, we would never have thought of that really, is that they actually wanted DIY workshops and lessons and advice about how they could maintain their homes. So now our provider, on a regular basis in kind of community hubs within our housing stock, actually provide seminars and advice and practical demonstrations around DIY. So that's just something that actually helps people in the houses maintain their homes better. And I've got a number of examples like that, which we can talk about later. So why social value? On a quite simply this slide, it just makes sense. There's lots of reasons why we do it. Obviously, there's equality, sustainability, all those commitments. But in reality, it actually makes business sense. And it's for Croydon, if we can use how we spend our money with other parties to help them, help our residents to have a better life or to give economic prosperity or help them get into a job, then that's really important, because that actually takes demand from our front door and helps us meet that £100 million gap. So I wanted to talk, and if you're Jonathan, and about the social care market. So one of the big contracts that first came out, and we were already in the process of this, and actually London Living Wage was not a consideration because it was not something the former administration actually had as a policy statement. So midway through this process, the new administration came in and they were very clear that they wanted us to tackle London Living Wage. So before, this contract is around care packages. It isn't tackling residential care, but it's tackling domiciliary care, which is home care, which is actually an area where it is rampant with really minimum wage payment. And we built London Living Wage into the framework. We are trying to work, because it's quite a dynamic framework and it's allowed to be refreshed in the way it's set up in procurement, we're trying to work with the providers to help them reap the benefits of having London Living Wage and absorb some of the costs, so it's just not passed policy straight through to the council. It's ongoing, but the dialogues are starting, and we are hoping that that will start in Croydon to create a different conversation around the social care market, around domiciliary care, which is the one where there is a growing level of minimum wage. So it's worked. Watch this space. It's still early days. The contract actually goes live next April, but obviously we're already working with providers about that, what that means. And it will be a contract commitment for them to demonstrate to us that they are paying the London Living Wage. So what can you do? Well, the London Living Wage and the Social Value Act actually go very well together. So you can use, you can enforce social requirements through your contract. You can bring together the work you do. So one of the things that we've increasingly become a great relationship is between us in procurement, our economic development team. So not only are we working around the London Living Wage with what we procure, we're actually starting to develop us, and as you may be aware, Westfield is coming to Croydon, there's millions of pounds of investment going to Croydon, working with them and how they, through social value, can ensure that they make sure that people who live locally to Croydon get the most out of that. And one of the ways we are showcasing this is that we've developed a system where, with how much investment that they're putting into Croydon, we calculate a point system, which is about what a social value point system. So say you've got 2,000 points, there will be a menu of things that you can do as a developer when you come to Croydon, which will give you your 2,000 points. Some of them might be employment opportunities, some of them might be doing things within the community. So it allows a developer or a business partner to look at what their strengths are and do the most for Croydon. So we set the sort of things we want, but we also allow innovation in it. So I think that's a really good thing. I also want to talk to you about some of the risks and challenges. So when you have to take £100 million out, there are going to be issues about how you do that by paying the London Living Wage, because it could be a cost. So the first thing for providers, if you're asking for London Living Wage and somebody else isn't, they have issues about equal pay in their own organisations. And I think that can be a risk that some providers may walk away if there's not a tipping point of local authorities or local government doing this. As you can see by Jonathan's list, maybe we are getting to a tipping point, but there is an issue around that, that we could limit our market and we need to work with providers. There will be markets that will find it difficult to respond to that. So what are you going to do? A good one is we have a market around transport for children with special education needs and also for vulnerable adults. And that market is very, very low paid and it's very small providers. And it's going to be a difficult conversation, which I'm starting to have, about how do they move to the London Living Wage with a great level of self-employment. It's not an industry that is going to be flexible and agile to respond to that. So we're going to need to think about how we deal with that. And that moves on to my third point about the ability to absorb those costs. Different markets will find different ways of reacting to that. We need to be careful we don't price small business out, but Sarah has already said, Bootstrap is small, but it can do it. But we need to work and support small businesses and SMEs so that we ensure that they are able to still work with us. And I think it needs to be introduced in a managed way. So on the framework, we're going to be taking a little time to work through with our providers so that they can meet those standards. So that's from me. I think I've finished in time. Yes, if you want to talk about this, names everything, if you want to talk about our approach or how we're doing, or actually share your approaches, because they might be better than ours. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for your time, Sarah. That's really fascinating. I think what's interesting